Please take your
Bibles and turn to my favorite gospel in chapter 16. You got 1 and 4, right? Well, turn to the book of Luke, chapter 16. The book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 28 says, "Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth." Book of Galatians, chapter 6, verse 10 says, "As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them that are of the household of faith." 1 Timothy, chapter 6, verse 17, "Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy." Would you please stand as we read from the book of Luke, chapter 16, beginning at verse 19. We read a story here that is recorded. It is not a parable. The Lord did not use first names in parables. And in this story, we hear of Lazarus, though the rich man is not named. Some wonder if it is the rich man that came to Jesus. Some call him the young rich man. But we find here in verse 19, "There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell." Jesus believed in hell. I know we live in a society where many churches have stopped preaching about hell. But Jesus gives the story in verse 23, "And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." Dear Heavenly Father, we would ask right now that if there is any that is lost with us today, that they would determine in their hearts to come to know Thee as personal Savior. We will find, Lord, in this story that the Lord is concerned. But once death comes, the destination of a human has already been determined. We ask, Lord, Your will be done. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.
Thank you, and you may be seated.
Two side notes. In verse 24, the rich man says, "Have mercy on me." He realized he deserved what he had received. He asked that he may dip the tip. How much water can you get on the tip of your finger? The rich man never got more than he gave. Who would have thought it? That's the title of my sermon today. Who would have thought it? And point one is, who would have thought that a man could be changed from a millionaire to a pauper in a second of time? We find in verse 23, "And in hell he lifted up his eyes." He carried nothing beyond the grave. 1 Timothy 6:7 says, "For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out." In his dying hour, He found his soul was more important than his wealth. When I was a young boy, which is a lot further now than it used to be, one summer, my mother decided that each week that she was going to try to teach, and I say try to teach, my brother Bob and me a scripture verse beginning in Matthew, and it was Matthew 4:4. And then the second one was Mark 8:36. And I remember those summer days at 5085 Auburn Road as my mother would take the Bible and try to get us to learn these verses. I have never been very good at memorization. Some of you are very good and you should be pleased with that and be thankful. But Mark 8:36 fits this lesson very well, where it says, "For what shall that profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" Well, what profit is it if we gain all but we lose our soul? So the question is, how much did he leave behind? Well, how much did he leave behind? He left it all. Christ spoke more on money and material possessions than on heaven. You say, "Well, Pastor Paul, why is that?" Because we as humans put an awful lot of emphasis on money and material possessions. Matthew 19:24 says, "And again I say unto you," Jesus speaking, "it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." Do you know what is meant by the term the eye of a needle? If you know what it, raise your hand if you know what that term means. What it means is the small door into a city in the city gates, not the major gate where all the traffic went through, but a small gate. And the only way a camel could go through this door, which they called the eye of a needle, was for the camel to get on its knees and to crawl through the gate. And Jesus is saying that it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle or through this small door in the city wall than it is for a rich man to get into heaven. Point number two, who would have thought that a man in a moment of time would be in a place where he would receive no mercy? May I say this, and I've been to the funeral home that, like you, and in the coffin was a deck of cards or maybe a six-pack of beer. May I tell you, in hell, there'll be no card games. There'll be no beer parties. It is my opinion that in hell it will be darkness and you will be by yourself with your memories. But you will be in torment. And you will remember the opportunities that you had to accept Jesus Christ as Savior. We that live in America at Christmas time, we may not hear all the Christmas hymns like we once did, but there is still the fact that we realize that Christmas is the coming of the Savior. And that at the Easter time or the resurrection time, it's when Jesus Christ arose from the dead. And I don't believe people in America will have any excuse as to why they never accepted Christ as Savior. We have more Bibles in America than ever before. You can go to your public library and they're there. They are sold at Walmart and they're sold at Costco and they're sold at different stores. You can find your Bible. And you can purchase it. But there'll be no mercy. You will not be playing cards in hell. Verses 24 through 26, we'll read it once again. "And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. He showed no mercy to Lazarus, and none shall he receive. Now, may I quickly say this? One does not go to hell because they were rich. And one doesn't go to heaven because they were poor. No, one goes to heaven because they have accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. For Christ died for the rich and the poor. Okay? He died for all mankind. And we in America are rich. Okay? You've been to a third world country. You realize our poor here are rich compared to them. We live in a rich country and we have the opportunity to go to heaven. But you know, I believe America is rich because we have gospel preaching churches. Okay? We have churches that proclaim the Son of God as our Savior. God bless America is because God has blessed us with gospel preaching churches. Virgil Edwards writes, Christ will have mercy on sinners in this life, but will have none in the next life. In the book of Revelation, chapter 20, verse 15, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. In the book of Revelation, chapter 20, you'll find that there are books, plural, and there is a book, singular. This is not a trick question, but do you want to be in the books or do you want to be in the book? We want to be in the book of life. The books have the names of those who will spend eternity in hell. Do you find it interesting that it is books, plural, for those that are going to hell? Jesus says that there are more that are going that direction because wide is the gate and narrow is the gate that leads to life everlasting and few that find it. How many born-again Bible believers are there in America today? Do you think we're the majority? Hello?
No.
We're not the majority. Do you think that we're 45%?
No,
I don't think so either. 35%? Maybe 30%? Maybe. You say, aren't all of us born in America Christians? No, we're not. Do they all go to church under the title Christian? Are they Christian? No. No. The fact of the matter is very few actually accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Many have never heard. Many have ignored. Many had gone to churches where they spoke in a language they didn't even understand. Well, we find that we need to realize that there is no mercy once one gets to hell. Number three, who would have thought that riches would avail nothing in death? The rich die as well as the poor. If you would, the book of Job, chapter 36. Job 36, we'll begin reading at verse 17. But thou hast fulfilled the judgment of the wicked. Judgment and justice take hold on thee. Because there is wrath, beware lest he take thee away with his stroke. Then a great ransom cannot deliver thee. Will he esteem thy riches? No, not gold, nor all the forces of strength. Our riches will mean nothing when we are dead. In the book of James, chapter 5, it tells us that our riches are corrupted. They are corrupted. Let me ask you a couple of questions right here. You'd have to have been living in a cave not to know this past week that a couple of people have been greatly celebrated because of their deaths. Correct? Senator McCain, like him or not, and Aretha Franklin. Boy, I tell you what, they're doing a lot for her, right? Both of them have died. Both of them are someplace. Where are those places they could be? Heaven or hell? Now, we know that Aretha Franklin has a Baptist pastor in her recent family. I would hope that she somewhere along the line accepted Christ as her Savior. I don't know the spiritual condition of the senator. Was it Arizona? Do I remember that correct? Arizona. I don't know his spiritual background, but he was a POW for how long? 5 years. I would think that in those 5 years, he would have prayed and got some things right with God. Okay? But I know this, that where they are now, they will be for eternity. Okay? And they had to make their decision. Well, what about me? My dad's a Baptist preacher. Does that mean I was going to be saved? No? Come on, I'm a Baptist preacher. Does that mean I'm saved? Why am I saved? If I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior, right? That's the only reason. I'm not saved because I'm a Baptist. I'm not saved because I was born in America or I graduated from high school or I graduated from a Bible college. That's not why I'm saved. I'm saved because of Jesus Christ. A decision had to be made, and at some point in time, I realized that I was a sinner and I needed to stop smoking, drinking, and hanging around with women that did. I was 6 years old. The fact of the matter is, I knew that I needed to be saved. I knew I was a sinner. Nobody had to tell me. I mean, I may not have liked it. But I realized I couldn't get to heaven on my own. I needed a Savior. And that Savior, of course, is Jesus Christ. Moving right along. Number four. Who would have thought that a man would remember in hell the deeds he did on earth? He would remember in hell the deeds he did on earth. Verse 25, back in the book of Luke. Give me a moment. There it is. I knew I'd find it. But Abraham said, "Son, remember. Remember." We have recorded that this man was rich and was clothed in fine clothing, and that he fared sumptuously every day, but there is no record that he helped the less fortunate during his life. Sumptuously. He lived in luxury, extravagantly, impressively. But there's no guarantee because you're rich, you're going to heaven. Now, in the Jewish day, during this time of Bible time, there was this thought that if a man was rich, he was being blessed of God because he was godly. Was that true? I guarantee you, we have a lot of people in our country that are very rich that are not godly. They simply are not. How many of you have ever been to North Carolina and been to the Biltmore? A handful of us. Was it the Vanderbilts that lived there? Do I remember correctly? It's a huge place. Mammoth. Does that mean the Vanderbilts are in heaven? I mean, they had this great big home. Lots of property. But if they don't know Jesus Christ as their Savior, they're in hell. Out here at the Oakland University, the property of which was donated by the Meadowbrook Hall and the Dodge family, et cetera. How many of you been to that hall? You've been to that beautiful place. Inside, at Christmas time, it's really neat with different trees in every room and beautiful place. And There's no guarantee because they had that great, beautiful home that they're in heaven. And there's no guarantee that they aren't in heaven. It's a decision that each of us must make. Have you made that decision today? Do you know Christ? Let me ask you this question. How many of you can guarantee you're going to be alive tomorrow? There's no guarantee, is there? There is no guarantee whatsoever. I'm 65 years old. Now go ahead and say I look 55. Go ahead, I dare you. Thank you, sir. I look 35? If I shaved, I'd look 40. It's coming off tomorrow. Keep it. Thank you. Yes. Now I lost where I was at. Oh, well. Oh, now I'm 65. I'm glad I got back to the spot. I remembered. 65. I'm a prime time, or in prime time for what? A heart attack. Prime time. 65. You know, I'm a little overweight. But the fact of the matter is, I have no guarantee. No guarantee of tomorrow. You have no guarantee of tomorrow. You get out there in your vehicle, you've no guarantee you'll get home today. I hope you do. But you have no guarantee. What if this was your last day on planet Earth? Where would you spend eternity? Where would you plan to have eternity? Who would have thought that a man once in hell can never escape? There is no praying someone out of hell. There's no praying someone from one place in eternity to another. Once we are dead, we are going to where we have made a reservation. If you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have made reservations in heaven. Amen. My wife and I are going to Tennessee in October, and we've made reservations so that when we get there, we have a place to stay. You make a reservation to go to heaven by accepting Christ as your Savior. Otherwise, you will spend eternity in hell. The prayers of the saints cannot pray someone out of the torments of hell. Let's read verse 27. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. We find in verse 27 that he becomes a man of prayer, one who probably had no need of prayer. And now in verse 28, we find that he becomes a missionary-minded man. He wants to have someone go to his brothers so that they will not come. May I say this? All of you have a person in hell who is hoping that you never come. May I say this, that Senator McCain, if he is in hell, doesn't want you to come. Or Aretha Franklin doesn't want you to come. But if they're in heaven, they want you to come. I may ask how many of you have someone in heaven that's waiting for you. Hopefully we all could raise our hand and say, yes, someone's there waiting. They're waiting for me to get here. But he did not want his brothers to come to that place of torment. And point number six, who would have thought that people are held responsible for hearing God's man? Who would have thought? Beginning at verse 29. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto them, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither would they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. When one rejects the word of God, they have punched their ticket to hellfire. When they have rejected the word of God, they have chosen hellfire. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned to come short of the glory of God." All of us have sinned. Romans 5:8-9, "But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." He saw our need and he did something about it. Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, either the death of the sinner or the death of Christ. And Christ died for sinners. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Romans 10:17 says, "Then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Shall we stand together? Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? If you'd like to know how, we'd have some men or some women that'd be glad to show you today what you need to do to accept Christ. We do not ever force anybody to make that decision. It's a decision that you have to make. But we'll give you the opportunity to come to the altar, and we'd be glad to pray with you here. If you'd like to come to the altar and pray by yourself, that's fine. And if you'd want someone to pray with you, let it be known. Dear Heavenly Father, at this invitation time, as we sing this song of Only Trust Him, Lord, may we trust you. We ask this in Jesus' name, amen.